You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hi, this is Paul Lazarus. In the 1980s, I produced and hosted a radio series called Anything Goes, a celebration of the American musical theater. Now the Broadway Podcast Network is bringing back these shows. Starting our second season, this is the first of a three-part program featuring legendary composer Cy Coleman. In September of 1980, Cy came to my apartment in Manhattan and discussed everything from his collaboration with Bob Fosse to working with Lucille Ball.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was a look on to something shocking, but now God knows anything goes. Good offers too. Who once knew better words, now only use four-letter words, writing prose. Anything goes. If driving fast cars you like, if low bars you like, if old hymns.
If they could see me now, that little gang of mine, I'm eating fancy chow and drinking fancy wine. I'd like those tumble bumps to see for a fact the kind of top draw first rate chums I attract. All I can say is, wow, we look where I am tonight. I landed pow right in a pot of jam. Oh, what a setup. Holy cow, they'd never believe it if my friends could see me now.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Anything Goes. Today, a look at the career of composer Cy Coleman. You'll be listening to a pre-recorded interview with Mr. Coleman and selections from his many Broadway scores, including his current smash hit, Barnum. You'll even hear a song from Mr. Coleman's musical in progress, Atlantic City. I'm Paul Lazarus. Join me for the next hour and a half on Anything Goes, with my guest, theater composer, Cy Coleman.
Chums I attract, all I can say is, oh, wow, we look where I am tonight. I landed, pow, right in a pot of jam. What a setup. Holy cow, they'd never believe it. They'd never believe it. If they could see me now, that little gang of mine, I'm eating fancy chow and drinking fancy wine. I'd like those stumble bumps to see for a fact the kind of top draw first rate chums I attract. All I can say is, wow, it looks. My friends could see me now.
So you made your pianistic debut at Town Hall when you were six, and most people hadn't even touched a piano by that age, let alone making their debut. I was just curious, what had happened before that, so that you were all ready to do a debut at 6 at Town Hall.
Well, what happened before that was usual breastfeeding and all that sort of thing. I think that what did happen was just purely accidental. I mean, I didn't come from a musical family, quote, quote. And my mother was very interested in real estate, and she owned 2 tenement houses, and we lived in one of them. And
this is in the city, right?
In the city, right, in New York City, in the Bronx. What had happened is that somebody had not paid. I suppose they took off. I don't know exactly what the circumstances were, but evidently they couldn't get the piano out. And we moved the piano downstairs. I mean, it's kind of, it's almost as if Neil Simon had written this, but he hadn't. And it was moved into our apartment, and I became immediately fascinated with the piano. Now, unbeknownst to everybody, myself included, I had what is known as perfect pitch. Now, I don't know how that contributed to my musicality, because there are a lot of people walking around with perfect pitch that don't know it. Mm-hmm. But this was a happy set of circumstances for me, because I would pick up things from the radio, and I would transfer them to the piano, and I discovered this little toy, and it started to fascinate me, so I started working at it a lot. So much so that my father, who was a carpenter, nailed the piano shut. However, though, being the son of a carpenter, I opened it.
You opened it. All right. How old are you at this point?
Oh, I was about 4 or 5, around there. And it was the milkman who sent over his son's piano teacher and made a deal with my mother. I told you my mother was a businesswoman. I think we got 2 free lessons for 1 that we paid for, and that sounded like a good deal, so I was on my way.
Shades of old Lucretia Borgia, there's a devil in you tonight. And although my heart adores you, my head says it ain't right. Right to let you make advances, oh no. Under normal circumstances I'd go, but oh, those fingers in my hair, that sly come hither stare, that strips my conscience bare, it's witchcraft. And I've got no defense for it, the heat is too intense for it. What good would common sense for it do? Cause it's witchcraft, wicked witchcraft. Although I know it's strictly taboo, when you arouse a need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me. Proceed with what you're leading me to. It's such an ancient pitch, but one I'd never switch, for there's no nicer witch than you.
Bobby Short performing the first smash hit song written by Cy Coleman and Carolyn Lee, Witchcraft. You're listening to Anything Goes. Today, a look at the career of composer Cy Coleman. After winning many prizes as a child prodigy, Cy studied classically for a long time at the New York College of Music and with Adele Marcus. After deciding not to become a concert pianist, primarily because he wanted to compose and perform his own material, Cy gained national prominence playing jazz piano in clubs across the country. As many composers begin their theater careers, he first contributed songs to revues, John Mary Anderson's Almanac in 1953 and The Ziegfeld Follies of 1957. Then he hooked up with lyricist Carolyn Lee.
Tell me about how you did meet Carolyn Lee, because that's really your first major collaborator.
Well, let me see. I was, there was a place that, speaking about Tin Pan Alley, Tin Pan Alley was generally known as the Brill Building. And there was a place that had hamburgers and hot dogs downstairs called the Turf.
Oh, no.
And I went down to the Turf one day. I was sitting, I don't know if it was Joe McCarthy or who I went with, you know, and I got to know some of the people around. And Carolyn was there. And she was riding around, and we talked, and she said, I don't remember who said it. I might have said it, you know, or she might have said to me, you know, why don't we write something together? I mean, this is like one of those old movies, you know?
Yeah, it's
And I said, sure. And we went upstairs to a publisher's office, and we wrote a song called A Moment of Madness. We finished it in a day, and...
So you went upstairs and wrote a song that day?
That day, A Moment of Madness. That's all this affair was. You looked up, and there was a kiss to be claimed.
Oh, my.
And we wrote that, and we played it. George Paxton, who was a band leader, but was a publisher at the time, had a publishing firm. And we played it for him, and they heard the song, and they said, that's a great song. I think Sammy Davis is coming up for a date. And we said, wonderful. And so... We gave them the song, we signed the song over to them, and within a week we had a record of Sammy Davis singing A Moment of Madness. So we decided this was a really great event, I mean our meeting, we'd try it again. And we wrote a song called In Pursuit of Happiness, and In Pursuit of Happiness was recorded by Louis Armstrong. And so we were having some good luck with this thing. Of yeah. course, it was a different music industry.
A moment of madness. That's all this affair was. I looked up and there was a kiss to be claimed. A moment of madness. Purest insanity, when I in my vanity thought love could be tamed, but it couldn't be tamed, and it soon gained control of me, and the kiss to be claimed, claimed the heart and the soul of me. Oh, you can say what the hey, you can just walk away when that moment of madness is through. But what do you do when the moment is gone and the madness goes on and on and on and on and on?
Composer Cy Coleman at the piano, performing the very first song that he wrote with lyricist Carolyn Lee. You're listening to Anything Goes with guest composer Cy Coleman today. Now back to a pre-recorded interview.
Carolyn and I had a very rocky time of it. We were very different personalities. When we got along very well. When we didn't get along, all hell broke loose. And I tried it for a couple of years, and we got ourselves an agent to get shows. And the agent was Abe Newborn. And Abe Newborn was terrific. I mean, Abe really manipulated. We wrote scores. We tried out, we wrote an audition score for Gypsy. And he would play one against the other. We wrote a few scores, and we had several shows, and we were playing for various producers. So we played between Fuhr and Martin, and David and Merrick, and whoever the producers were, there were about four or five of them. And he made a little demand for us, and finally got to a point where he got us a huge advance, and we hadn't done any shows. So we played for Fuhr and Martin, who signed us to do a show called Skyscraper, which we never got a book for.
Uh-huh. Which later on, yeah.
Later on it came along, they got a book for it. But in the interim, while we were waiting for Skyscraper to come along, Michael Kidd called us up. And Michael Kidd was directing and producing a show with Lucille Ball. And I believe he had some other writers. And somehow they had a falling out. And they called us up and they said, would you do it?
So you did Wildcat, so said, and they did Skyscraper.
Would we do it? With Lucille Ball, who was just coming off of her big television show. And this was going to be her Broadway debut, in a sense.
It was.
So that was it. Yeah. So, I mean, that's how Carolyn Lee and I started with Wildcat.
Writing for Lucille Ball, what kind of experience was that?
We couldn't find the opening song. You know, I mean, writing for Lucille Ball, you have to write within the limitations and the talent of the person. So, obviously, you know, when you're writing for Lucille Ball, you write for what Lucille Ball can do. And our first meeting, we had a bunch of songs, and we nearly threw out Hey, Look Me Over, because we didn't think that it was kind of sophisticated enough for us. We played for her that day, and I didn't realize that Lucille Ball would be frightened. I mean, here we were, just, you know, young in the theater, and the idea of Lucille Ball being frightened, I thought, what has she got to be frightened of? She's successful. I mean, as if that was the reason that people are frightened. I mean, I've got a reason to be frightened. So, just vying for who was going to be more frightened. But anyway, she came up to E.H. Morris and Company, and we played the songs for her, and she said, and that's all I would get out, and we didn't know. And then when we got to Hey, Look Me Over, she said, I can sing that. And I said, well, thank God we left it in. So she got up to the piano, and we got locked. I don't know if you've ever got locked in a stair with somebody, and we didn't know how to break it. And it just went on and on and on, and finally, I said, well, let's start. You know, we start. And when we finished the song, she sang the song. She said to Jennifer, she said, let's not ever do that again. She said, my eyeballs hurt. I said, so do mine. She said, well, I'm glad that's over. She said, I was just panicked to death to come up here and sing for you. I said, you were panicked. I said, I was panicked to have to play for you. She said, well, now that we understand it, she said, we're going to stop all that nonsense. So we became good friends then.
But you got to beat the drum, Janie. You got to tell them, here we come. Pow, pow. You gotta say, stand up and listen. You gotta say, it's us. We're here. You gotta say, hey, look me over. Lend me an ear. Fresh out of clover. Mortgage up to here. But don't pass the plate, folks. Don't pass the cup. I figure whenever you're down and out, the only way is up, and I'll be up like a rosebud. High on the vine. Don't thumb your nose, but take a tip from mine. A little bit short of the elbow room, but let me get me some. And look out, world, here I come. Come on, Janie.
Oh, why do they laugh at us?
Not if we sing loud enough, come on.
Follow along, she says, and paint them a rosy view.
And tell them a story.
Sing them a song, she says, and sing them a song we do.
We're hitting the road.
Loud as a chanticleer and jittery as a hen.
The road to glory.
Ready to whoop. My dear, but here we go again.
Yeah!
Hey, look me over.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
A pinch. We'll take an eighth. We'll take an inch.
Only way is up
and make it pay.
Like a
so what do you say?
On the
Over, performed by Lucille Ball and Paula Stewart, from Cy Coleman's first full Broadway score, Wildcat.
You're involved with so many other things. Sometimes there's a big space in between your show writing because you're doing so many other things in so many different areas all the time. But Little Me was really 2 years right after Wildcat. That show had so many incredibly talented people working on it. You know,
it was a wonderful show. Yeah. It's a wonderful, unique, and I think possibly one of the funniest shows that Neil Simon has ever written. And we all love that show. Bob Fosse loves the show. He'd tell me some of his best choreographies in that show.
Huh.
Neil will say some of his best lines, and he loves that show. Carolyn Lee and I myself love the show, too. So, I mean, we're all in love with that show.
Well, I hope that means it's going to come back at some point.
I assume. I tell you, this is a show that every year everybody says they're going to do a production of. I mean, when it was sold to the movies, Joe Levine was taking out a double-page ad every day. Little Me is coming. Mm. Sort of, it's turned out to be Waiting for the Messiah.
Sven Swenson sang a song called I've Got Your Number, which I particularly like. Can you set that up, how it occurs in the show?
It happens in the show when Musgrove, wants to take her away. And he decides to seduce her. And the way he did, and this was Bob Fosse's concoction, I think it was the first male strip on stage without taking off.
Oh.
He didn't get nude, and he didn't get anywhere near nude, but he did a very seductive bump and grind strip, and he removed his the garters from his arms, you know, the things that were holding up his sleeves, and threw them at her. And it was a pure seduction, very, very sexy number. And Sven stopped the show every night, called. I've never seen something so consistent. I mean, there was not any time that he did not stop the show.
Mm-hmm.
He went to England and recreated it and stopped the show every night there. I mean, the audience just loved it. And the idea was that he does seduce her and she becomes pregnant.
You've got no time for me. You've got big things to do. Well, my sweet chickadee, I've got hot news for you. I've got your number. I know you inside out. You ain't no Eagle Scout. You're all at sea. Oh, yes, you brag a lot. Wave your own flag a lot. But you're unsure a lot. You're a lot like me. Oh, I've got your number. And what you're looking for. And what you're looking for. Just suits me fine. We'll break those rules a lot. We'll be damn fools a lot. But then why should we not? How could we not combine? When I've got your number and I've got the glow you've got. I've got your number, and baby, you know you've got mine. We'll break those rules a lot. We'll be damn fools a lot. But then why should we not? How could we not combine? Oh, and I've got your number and I've got the glow you've got. I've got your number and baby, you know you've got mine.
So Sid Caesar played all the practically all the male roles in that show, all the lovers and husbands. And do you remember anything standing out particularly in his performance?
Let me see. There were so many wonderful things that he went from Noble Eggleston, who was the richest boy in town and the handsomest, and he went to Harvard and Yale, and he was going to be a doctor lawyer, to a takeoff on a tyrannical Hollywood director. Oh God, there's a prince. It was a Romanian prince, I think.
Did it all.
And Sad Sack. And he sang a very touching version of Real Live Girl as the Sad Sack.
Which I believe is almost cut from the score.
Yes, it was cut from the score originally.
Uh-huh.
Much to my chagrin. I always claimed it was a conspiracy. You know, you get paranoid these things.
Yeah, why was it cut? I mean, I can't even imagine.
Well, right in the beginning it was cut. Because everybody has different theories about him. I think the theory was that a ballad wouldn't work. And what happened, the show was going along beautifully. And at the end of the first act, we had a number called Don't You Fret Lafayette, We Are Here. Everything happened in that number. Sid Caesar was on stage carrying on. There were cannons rolling off, and we were in wartime, and Belle Poitrine was there with her troop to help the boys. You know, her troop was really kind of call girls, you know, they're all coming to help the boys, but it was a very noble experiment for her. And she did it very nobly, and somehow the number was falling flat. And we didn't know why. The audience seemed to like the number, and it was a clever number, but it was not really, we were not getting the response at the end of the first act. And it was concerned, we had big meetings about it, and big fights about it. So what happened is that finally, Bob Fosse said, well, listen, why don't I try to take, you know, let's dig up that number that we cut, Real Live Girl. Let me see if I can do something with that. And I said, well, that would be wonderful. And he did this, instead of having a loud ending to Act One, he took it and he gave us a soft ending and a beautiful male ballet of the soldiers. Mm-hmm. And as it turned out, that was, we waited, by the way, breathlessly that night to see what would happen. The audience just went absolutely bananas. And that remained, and that's how it remained in the show.
Terrific.
And I mean, analyzing it later, you know, and figuring out why, I had figured out that the reason that it worked at that time was the audience was so besieged with gags and numbers, and it was such a wildly entertaining show that we never gave them a chance to catch their breath. And at the end of the first act, it gave them not only a chance to watch a beautiful ballet that Bob had done, and with a song that they obviously liked, and it was beautifully done on stage, but it also gave them a chance to really realize everything that they had seen. You see, to assimilate everything. So I believe that's one of the reasons that it worked as well as it did.
Hey, Yanks, guess who's coming?
Real Live Girls. Real Live Girls. Nothing can beat getting swept off your feet by a real live girl. Dreams in your bunk don't compare with a hunk of a real live girl. Speaking of miracles, this must be it.
Just when I started to learn how to knit,
I'm all in stitches from finding what riches a waltz can reveal with a real live girl. A real live girl. Seen photographs and facsimiles that have set my head off in a whirl, but no work of art gets you right in the heart like a real live girl. Take your statues of Juno and the Venus de Milo
me low. When a fellow wants, you know,
we know who wants substitutes. I overlook everyone in the book for a real
sexy Sally or Susabel.
Take your Venetian or Roman or Grecian ideal.
I'll take something more usable.
Girls were like fellas was once my belief.
What a reversal.
And what a relief.
I'll take the flowering hat and the towering heel and the squeal of a real live girl. Real live girl.
From the original Broadway cast recording of Little Me, you heard Real Live Girl, the closing of the first act, written by lyricist Carolyn Lee and my guest today on Anything Goes, composer Cy Coleman. You've been listening to Cy Coleman, Part 1, the first of a three-part series. Associate producer Jeff London. Anything Goes, Backstage with Broadway's Best, is produced and hosted by Paul Lazarus. For more information, visit anythinggoespl.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate and follow us. Thanks for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.